Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real
2.
My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Matthew the Winter Soldier Pass.
Word.
Yep.
So, today on the episode, on the show, I don't know what just happened to my voice. I became Andy Rooney there for a second or something. Today on the episode, folks. Anyways, we are... Isn't it weird? Oh, anyway, so, we are covering episode 4 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Disney Plus Marvel television series. We are covering episode 4, which is entitled The Whole World is Watching, which is an appropriate... title here. It was directed by Kari Skoglund, who's directed all the episodes, and written by Malcolm Spellman and Derek Kolstad. First off, Matt, what was your initial reaction to this episode? What do you think of it?
It was really intense. I watched it 3 times, actually. I loved it. I mean, my reaction was just, the ending, just really, really intense. With that music was playing and everything, it was just, and the imagery as well. I mean, it was executed in more words than one perfectly. really one of the best... one of the best endings so far in the MCU is like in TV world, in my opinion.
I agree. I think there's a lot of layers to this episode and a lot of, I think commentary on the current world situations that we have going on here with Black Lives Matters and, cops and just lots of things in the world and the whole, order of the world in a way.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, it's hard to say which is my favorite episode so far, but I really do like this episode. A lot does happen. I asked in our Facebook group, the All Too Real 2 podcast group, what people thought of the latest episode. And Manuel Sutton said, "The new Captain America is a prick." And then Dave Haas, who I think you know.
Yeah. I think so.
I believe he... You know, helped create you. Your dad said, agree with Emmanuel. Battlestar is a better hero than him. So, there we go. That's all we had this week as far as comments go. Be sure to comment in there anytime we say something like this, and we will mention you in the episode if you like that type of thing. This episode is 53 minutes long. Which is the same length as the last episode. I'm liking the fact that these episodes are a lot longer than WandaVision episodes.
Yeah.
So you get a lot more action, more drama, and a lot of things happening here. So basically, where we left off last time, at the end of the episode, Io, from Wakanda, found Bucky. In this episode, we get a flashback to Io basically helping Bucky deprogram himself from the whole Winter Soldier thing. So we see her basically repeating all of the code words, and he's able to not become the Winter Soldier because, you know, basically the Wakandans helped him, and probably Io is like the number one person that did it, you know.
Yeah, that was such a moving scene for me watching that a few times, actually. Each one, you know, I see a little bit more nuance to what's going on. Like, he's reliving all of these moments from, like, different words that she says, you know?
Yeah.
Like, furnace, freight car.
I think you've triggered me, Matthew. I am now the Winter Soldier.
No. But, yeah, they showed, like, you know, the glimpses of what's going on, him being programmed initially the first time, him doing his activity, you know, him killing Tony's parents, Tony Stark's parents. And then, you know, after she gets done reciting the words, you know, and he hasn't turned yet, she says, "You are free," 2 times. And then he cries for a little bit, and then all of a sudden he's just got this smile on his face. He can't help himself from smiling. And keep in mind, that was probably only about just weeks before Infinity War came out, and the timeline.
Yeah.
Like he said, like, when he had a little bit of calm in Wakanda, like, we're talking about, like, a matter of weeks or maybe a few months at the very most. And then it was on to the next worldwide battle. And then he's one of the ones that got dusted. So then he returned 5 years later. But to him, it was pretty much just moments later, you know, as far as consciousness was concerned. So, like, Io, you know, kind of felt, you know, betrayed that, you know, he broke out Zemo because he's the one that killed King T'Challa in, was it Winter Soldier or Civil War?
T'Chaka, yeah.
T'Chaka, sorry.
Civil War, yeah. T'Challa is Chadwick Boseman's character.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, he killed King T'Chaka and then framed it on Bucky or James Barnes. And so, you know, she's like, you know, it took a lot of time and resources to deprogram you. And, you know, this is kind of what you do to us, is you freak out the guy who killed our king. And it wasn't just the fact that, you know, their king died, but, you know, they were the royal guard, you know, it was their, like,
yeah.
They were, it was not just their job. It was their, like, life purpose to protect the king.
Yeah.
And they failed to do so. So it brought shame onto them, you know, at least, you know, in their minds, that, so it's like, you know, there's a lot of hurt feelings, not just hurt feelings, a lot of very nasty feelings about the fact that they helped them. And plus, too, although she didn't mention it, but I'll say it, I think there is kind of a racial connotation to that, too. You know, we always hear all these stories about black people helping white people find themselves and stuff like that. And here we have literally an African country helping this guy get back to who he was. And then he goes, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, granted, it's the whole Legend of Bagger Vance sort of thing. The whole, the whole, what they call the magical Negro.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't say this is exactly like that.
No, but
like,
it's a similar kind of concept.
It's just the idea that, like, you know, this African country, literally, because when she said time and resources, that makes me think it wasn't just reciting the words back to him that was able to deprogram him. Like, there must have been other things. You know what I mean? That allowed him to be deprogrammed.
Yeah.
I don't think it was just constantly reciting the words over and over until he wasn't, until he couldn't change. You know what I mean?
Well, and even if it wasn't, you know, just, you know, there's the basic resources of housing and feeding him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, that too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah. So there's that going on.
And his yes. his response to everything is basically that it's the means to an end, which makes sense. Right. I mean, basically he's basically the only one that can help them in this situation right now.
Right. And this whole episode is pretty much about means to an end. Like, literally. Yeah. Everything about this episode is about, do the ends justify the means? And yeah. every single main character is having this question right now going on.
Yeah. So after that, Zemo helps find Carly Morgenthau at a funeral for her adopted mother. Basically, Walker, John Walker, aka the new Captain America, and Hoskins, the Battlestar, basically intercept them on the way to the thing. I mean, it was an interesting way that Zemo helped them find it. It was through, he gave candy to kids.
Yeah.
It was just kind of creepy in a way.
Yeah, it's like, I got a van full of candy, you know.
Yeah,
it's Turkish delights.
Yeah.
Turkish. I actually like Turkish delights. A lot of people don't like them. I kind of like. I think they're good candy. But
Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, get the works. It's nobody's business but the Turks.
Wow.
Sorry. Anyways, anytime I hear Turkish Delight, it just reminds me of that song.
Oh.
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yeah.
Made famous by They Might Be Giants.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the name of that band. You know, yeah. Istanbul, what that word means.
What does it mean?
Islam has conquered, I think is what it means.
Really?
That's why they changed the name, because when the Muslims took over, started the Ottoman Empire. Because Ottoman is basically just a Turkish variation of Uthman. And mm-hmm. Uthman is named after the third caliph in Islam, Sunni Islam, third, the Shias believe that Ali was the first, meant to be the first caliph. And Istanbul and Turkish, because Turkish language is mm-hmm. like 20% Arabic and 80% its own language. And so when they took over, they changed the name of the city to Istanbul to say Islam is conquered, to basically put their mark. People do this shit all the time. It's not just Muslims. Christians do the same exact shit, but it's just a way of like saying, we're in charge.
It's funny that they changed it from Constantinople, which was named after Constantine.
Who is
a Christian leader anyway, so it was like...
It was just a change of power, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, my thing is the name of this town was already basically saying Christianity was better.
Exactly. It's just it's like power change hands is all it was. Now, I know it's a weird tangent going on, but like, Erdogan, who's the dictator of Turkey, he calls himself president, but he's pretty much a dictator, and, he's in the Hagia Sophia.
I'm not sure.
there's a temple called the Hagia or the Hagia Sophia in Turkey, and even during the reign of the Ottoman Empire, for most of its reign, which is like lasted like about like 600 years or something like that, or maybe a little bit longer, and even during that time when it was like clearly like, Islam dominates that area, that temple was like a neutral zone. It wasn't like a mosque. It was everyone could worship in that same place. So Jews could go in there, Christians, Muslims, even some of the people who maybe had like a sort of like pagan pre-Islamic Turkish religion or whatever, they could all worship in that place. And it was meant to be kind of like a universal neutral zone or whatever. But Erdogan last year, because he's trying to consolidate power to himself to become a dictator in that country, and he's using Islam is like his, like conservative Islam is sort of like his power base or whatever. Because Turkey used to be actually, I know it's got nothing to do with Falcon the Winter Soldier, just bear with me. So Turkey used to be like a secular, like a secular nationalist state. And so much so that they actually changed the Arabic alphabet into Latin. They made the Muslim men wear like Western style suits. They made the women like take off the hijab. Like they literally like forced like European, like modern type of European dress and language and culture on onto the people, even though most of them were religious Muslims. And they tried to like basically like indoctrinate them out of that kind of belief system and culture for like 30-40 years straight. And then all of a sudden back in the 80s or late 70s, Islam, conservative Islam started to become ascendant again. And so then because a lot of those guys were businessmen, really successful businessmen. And you know how that always goes. The people who got the money, they pay off the government, you know, the whole symbiotic relationship. Yes, it's got nothing to do with Falcon. And then so he, long story short, because that's his power base, that's where his money comes from as well. So he's using that base to consolidate power to himself. And then he officially turned the Hagia Sophia into a mosque last year, basically as his way of saying, like, fuck you, like, everyone else, like, I'm becoming your dictator. This is a mosque now. I don't give a shit for the past 1,000 years that this place was like a neutral zone. Now it's a mosque. Either get over it or complain about it and I'll arrest your ass. And that's my review of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The whole world is watching. So time to get history lessons here, you know? So,
yes. back to the show. So Zemo basically, through this little kid, helped find out where the funeral was going to be. After both Sam and Bucky tried as well and failed because nobody was talking to them, you know. Mm-hmm. So basically he got them to tell by giving little kids candy.
Yeah, it sounds bad. But also, too, he told them that Sam and Bucky were bad people and don't trust them.
Yeah.
So he's got his own little agenda, like usual.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. So basically, they get to the funeral. After Walker and Hoskins kind of joined them. Sam wants to speak to Carly, and basically Walker wants to go in guns a-blazing and just basically take her, you know?
Yeah.
They give Sam a little bit of time to talk to her, and she's basically realizing this whole thing. I mean, it's like, there was earlier at one point, forgot to that she had gotten the rest of the super soldier serum from underneath the grave of one of her comrades who it was underneath the grave of his grandfather who had fought in World War II, and he talks about how he was a fan of Captain America for years, you know. So that'll come into play later.
Yeah.
So she has in like a little I don't know, it's like a fanny pack. this whole a few doses of this super soldier serum.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's at the funeral for her adopted mother. Mama Danya. She gives this like really impassioned like eulogy at the thing and speech about what they're fighting for, basically. And Sam's up in a balcony at the location there, and she sees Sam while she's giving her speech. She basically, Sam goes in to meet with her. Like I said, Walker wanted to go in guns a-blazing and basically take her, you know. Take her either into custody or kill her, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's all about, you know, fighting and not, you know, negotiating, basically.
Yeah.
So, Wilson speaks with Morgenthau alone after the funeral and attempts to persuade her to end the violence that she's been perpetrating. And while this happens, Walker's too impatient and he decides that he needs to intervene and get in there, you know?
Yeah.
So what happens here, Matt?
Well, you know, Carly predictably thinks Sam, you know, set her up so that, she, you know, it would give him back up enough time to arrest her or whatever. So it pretty much ruins any kind of goodwill that he had already made with her. Because, you know, he was already kind of getting her to sort of see his point of view a little bit by kind of tricking her into, like, sounding like a villain without realizing that that's what she's talking about. Because then she caught herself and it was like, no, that's not what I meant. You know, you're tricking me to sound like, you know, one of those people. Because earlier, so Zemo, you know, was still going on his whole idea that the very concept of a super soldier, you know, leads to problems. So, like, no matter the intentions of the person, like, what side they're on, the very concept itself inherently will lead to, like, more trouble. Like, even if you're doing good, it's like, it's best to just not even have that kind of person around, no matter what. Just, like, if you want to do good, just do it without it, because with it, it's going to come with a whole host of all their problems. And he referred to them as supremacists, and he lumped in the Avengers with them because he has not really forgiven them for what they did or what they caused, I guess, by accident. Because, you know, Tony accidentally created Ultron. It wasn't on purpose, but he did. And that's what led to his family being killed in Sokovia.
And, I mean, he isn't wrong. I mean, basically,
no, he's not.
It's because, I mean... We as the viewers, we are on the side of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. It's just they sometimes do things that are not right because nobody's perfect, and
right,
you know, it's kind of like the basic concept. I mean, that falls into this and almost any superhero thing is like what Harvey Dent said in The Dark Knight, where it's like, you know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
Yeah, exactly, because once you build a power base, you know, now politics get involved and you have to govern somehow. And, you know, there's always going to be people that don't agree with your form of government. And then, so then you have a choice to make. Either you go through with all your plans without any resistance, and you just quell any resistance you have because you know best, and they're just going to have to deal with it somehow. Or you listen to the people's concerns, but then you risk not getting your plans done in a timely manner or done at all, or you have to compromise a little bit so you don't really get to actually do what you really wanted to do. And then, depending on your personality, if you have an all-or-nothing type personality, getting half of what you want doesn't amount to shit because it's not really what you have in mind. So it's not going to work at all if you can't get... Like, the people have that kind of person. I kind of have that personality a little bit. So it's like kind of like basically the idea for people like me, I guess, like, because I'm kind of like that myself, it would be like saying like building half of a car. It sounds nice, but you need the whole car in order for it to drive. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? You can't just say, I'll put two wheels on, or I'll do the back half or the front half. The whole car needs to be assembled in order for it to run effectively.
Yeah.
So Zemo is basically, that's what he believes is, you know, but then even he starts talking like that, saying that, you know, super soldiers should not be allowed to exist. So then Sam's like, or Bucky's like, well, that you sound like you're talking like a god now, that you're saying that they can't exist or they must not allowed be exist. You know, so there's a lot of this idea of supremacism, but also to using supremacism in order to end other forms of supremacism, like Zemo, and then we find out later on Carly, when Sam is kind of, because Sam is kind of sort of trying to deprogram her a little bit on his way, almost like how Io deprogrammed Bucky a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So, like, he's saying, like, well, you know, I was just talking to a man who knows more about super soldiers than anyone on the planet, and he said that you're a supremacist. And she's like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm trying to end supremacy, and, you know, they're the ones that are supremacists. And he's like, okay, well, do you have more, you know, serum? And she's like, yeah. So, and he's like, okay, you're going to build an army, right? And she's like, yeah. And it's like, well, you know, you're killing innocent people. And she's like, they're not innocent, they're just roadblocks on my way to get what I need to get done. And it's like, it just sounds like a terrorist would say, you know.
It's basically what she's doing is she doesn't understand that she's fighting fire with fire,
right?
Because I mean, the basic idea, it's like you can't create peace through war, you know? I mean, you can, but it's like, it's still war, you know?
Well, sometimes you can, but
I mean, it comes at
a very high price.
Yeah, I was going to say, the ends might justify the means, but basically, you're doing something bad to try to create something good, but you're still doing something bad. It's a philosophical thing that you just gotta, you know, it's like you can't, you know, like I said, you can't fight fire with fire and then claim that you're not an arsonist.
Right. You can't do the exact same. So, like, for example, like, you know, in my opinion, fighting the Nazis was a noble act, and the Nazis had to be destroyed. But so, for example, the Nazis practiced stuff like they got the idea from eugenics from America, but okay, aside from that, they were practicing all kinds of like weird scientific experiments. Okay, that happened again in America. Okay, anyway, so, but like, okay, so for example, like Nazis would like rape like women and stuff, you know, like, you know, as like war crimes and shit like that, right? So
another idea they got from America.
Right. Well, I'm saying is,
well, no, that's America, not from America. Yeah. That's been around since
Been around since the beginning. It's meant to humiliate your enemies, yeah. And to literally seed your enemies with your seed. It's very, very barbaric type of mentality. But yeah. Like, and that's what it's about. It's meant to humiliate the men and also destroy the women's psyche. But anyway, so like, because the Nazis are doing that, right? So if the Americans came in and started raping German women, that would be bad. Just because the Nazis are bad doesn't mean you can go around doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be something like that. Or
it's the whole idea that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like basically like where got this whole idea where police are above the law or something, where, you know, you've got somebody, it's like, sure, George Floyd tried to steal something, but he didn't deserve to die for that.
Right. It's death is not the penalty for $20.
He deserved a fair trial and to be sentenced to jail or whatever for the crime, you know what I mean? He didn't deserve to have his neck pressured by somebody's knee for 9 fucking minutes. You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's so basically that's where it is. It's like, And even if he were a murderer, it's still not within the right of someone to kill that murderer, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too, I get pissed off about that. And this show goes into that as well, where I see so many people comment on Facebook where they're like, well, that's what I would have done, and we're all human. It's like, yeah, but see, the thing is, soldiers and law enforcement, they're trained to handle certain situations in a very specific manner. That's the reason why that's their job. So you can't use the argument of me as a civilian would do this thing, a thing that I don't get paid to do and I don't get trained to do. So therefore, a person who is paid to do this thing and who is trained to do this thing, it's okay if they do it. I'm like, your argument literally makes no sense at all. Like they're literally trained to handle that situation in a certain manner. So they're not supposed to let their emotions get to them. And yes, if they do, then they should then be held accountable for that. It's basic logic. It's not that hard to comprehend.
No.
But a lot of people seem to be very hard to comprehend it, so...
Do you want to take a quick break here, Matt?
And then
we'll
come,
we'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of this episode and also how it applies to our current society.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. Okay, so next, so like I said, Walker kind of goes in, you know, all guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
And like we said, Morgenthau is convinced. Convinced that basically Sam set her up, which he didn't. At this time, Zemo escapes too. He was handcuffed to like a boiler or something in the building, and he escapes. And what happens next here, Matt?
yeah, he uncuffs himself somehow, and Bucky is trying to go after Carly because he's got, you know, the super strength as well. And they're like scaling stairs and rooftops or whatever. And, Zemo ends up, shooting Carly.
Yeah.
And which again is kind of weird because like, I always assumed that like having super strength, like you'd be able to withstand bullets. I thought Steve could, but maybe he had more of it or something. Maybe they only got like a smaller dose because they're like it, divvying it out between more people, or
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. It might just give you strength. It might not give you super healing.
But I'm pretty sure Captain was probably stabbed at least a few times in his life. You think that at some point he would have got shot or I don't know.
Maybe you don't heal fast, but you can't die from it or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's maybe. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, she gets shot like in the stomach or something, or like the maybe her side, and she's hiding behind like the boiler or whatever, and she drops all of the vials of the serum, and Zemo just starts stepping on all of them, you know, because again, Zemo doesn't really want superpower for himself, he just wants that stuff gone. So he starts stepping on all of the vials, and he breaks them. It seems like he breaks them all, and then all of a sudden, John Walker throws a shield at his head and knocks him out. And then, as he's looking around, he sees that there's still one vial left intact, and he like does like this weird like head tilt thing, which really creeps me out because he almost looks like an android when he does it, like really inquisitive. Like this is how humans look, right? Like
it reminds me of. Have you seen the Halloween movies before?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of Michael Myers when he does, because he does that thing like when he, like after he kills somebody, he kind of admires them and does this head tilt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, and so he ends up taking the vial and puts it in his pocket, and then that's when like everyone else shows up. I think Battlestar was there, I think everyone else, they're like, oh, did I miss anything or whatever? And then it kind of goes to Carly's talking to her comrade about, you know, what's going on. She ends up calling Sam's sister and basically threatens to kill her and her children if she can't have a meeting with Sam alone this time, because she thinks that Sam was working with the new Captain America. And Sarah, his sister, said, no, I can tell you one thing. He is not working for that man at all. But she doesn't really believe her fully. And so that's going on outside, and then back at the loft that Zemo owns, I think. And they're talking again, and they're arguing with each other. John basically threatens to fight Sam for no reason whatsoever. Like, they're just getting into, like, a regular argument. Like, they weren't even yelling at each other.
He's like, I'll put down the shield. Let's do it man on man, you know, sort of.
So it's like, again, like, this guy is a freaking short fuse. He should not be a soldier.
No.
And again, it goes back to that whole idea of, like, oh, well, that's what I would do. It's like, yeah, but you're not a soldier. You're trained to be a certain way. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't be doing that as a job or any. It's like any other career. Where if I worked at like a grocery store as like a bagger or a cashier, and I'm being trained for how many weeks, how many months, whatever, and 2 years go by and I still can't do that job correctly, I would be fired. But somehow when it comes to the army, the military, and the police, we're expected to give them more leeway than we would to like a cashier who can't do their job. I'm like, shouldn't we be giving more leeway to the cashier because they're not threatening anyone's lives by messing up?
It's like if a cashier gives out the wrong change, nobody's going to die.
Exactly. But they'll get fired quicker,
yeah,
or they'll get reprimanded quicker than a soldier or a police officer. And again, I'm not bashing all soldiers and police officers. I'm just saying that, like, not everyone is suited for that, literally and figuratively. So it's like, if you're not one of those people, cut your losses and just find something else to do. It's fine.
I mean, it's like, you know, and anytime you're in a job that you have people's lives literally in your hands, whether it's a doctor or an EMT or a cop or a mental health professional, something like that, you should be held to higher standards. And it seems like medical people are held to higher standards usually. I mean, sometimes they get away with shit too. But they're not, but like, you're going to lose your license if you do something wrong and kill somebody on the table sometimes, you know what I mean? But if you're a cop or in the military, a lot of times you don't lose your job if you kill somebody.
It's just bizarre. It really is. So yeah, they're getting into this, you know, John Walker's trying to pick this fight. And then, oh, by the way, that reminds me too of earlier. So like Sam said, you know, I used to work with soldiers like with trauma, like PTSD, and to try to like get them to like integrate back into like regular life, you know, civilian life, and how to like how to handle their triggers, like when something, like a loud noise or a bad memory, you know, so they don't spiral out of control and become violent or hurt themselves or other people. And John Walker's like, yeah, I know, and I know those type of soldiers, which is why I know that we can't reason with Carly. So he's like likening her to a soldier that he used to work with. So it's kind of like, are you then like almost commending her by saying that? Because you're comparing her to whatever. But really, he's talking about himself, because the guy's got such a short fuse. I mean, like, and what else happened? I'm trying to remember the order of things.
So basically, then they he contacts Sharon at some point, and she has like a satellite in view, so she can kind of see where people are. So that just comes into play later. But Sam. Before that though, we do have the Dora Milaje come in to take Zemo. And
yeah, they come in.
Yeah, and while they're trying to, it's right before it's right after. John tries to fight Sam. And so they come in there and they start fighting to get Zemo, basically, and they get in this big fight with Battlestar, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Captain America.
Again, that whole scene too. So like John Walker then shows his disrespect to the Royal Guard, essentially. Yeah. He's talking about, let's put down the pointy sticks. It's like, come on. So again, it's like, you know, when you're... There's a reason why they used to be a thing, and I don't even know if they even do this anymore. The military used to have a thing where it would be like called like winning the hearts and minds of the people. So like they would have people where their whole job was to basically... like, learn about the culture, learn their language, talk to the people, you know, and kind of, you know, earn their trust, and to actually earn their trust, not just to trick them, but to, like, actually, like, forge relationships with these people. And you got John Walker here talking about pointy sticks, and then he tried to put his hand on the shoulder. I'm like, dude, this is the Royal Guard. You don't, for a kingdom, you don't put your hand on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, like, you gotta know this stuff, like, you know, I mean, you gotta show proper respect, I mean, come on. Plus two, she's a woman, so that's got another aspect to it. Like, should you really just be putting your hand on some woman's shoulder that you just met? Like, come
on. He's trying to tell them that they don't have jurisdiction there either.
Right, and he does.
And it's like, you know, basically, they're just basically saying we have jurisdiction everywhere, you know? It's
anywhere,
like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that fight was pretty awesome, by the way, too.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty well done. They fight, and while they're fighting, Zemo performs an El Chapo and escapes.
Yeah.
He has like a tunnel underneath the underneath like his bathtub in his bathroom, and so he's escaped. So they don't get him. At one point too, the Io disassembles Bucky's arm.
Yeah.
Which was pretty sweet. And like, yeah, he's looking at it like he didn't know his arm could do that.
It was just like some weird like hand motions she did, and it just went and fell down, and
yeah, it's like something that only Wakandans know, or only her and some other people.
It's like a combination, like a karate move where you do certain things, and like, you know.
And then you kill somebody.
Yeah.
So after this happens, they, the Dora Milaje, they leave, right, then?
Yeah, they basically, the one she ends up kicking up the shield to grab a hold of, like, that's what Captain America did, I think. He would step on the shield to, like,
have it
flip up. But Io tells her to leave it to him, so he keeps it. Yeah, they end up leaving then.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, technically, that shield belongs to Wakanda.
Yeah, because it came from vibranium.
Yeah, so yeah.
And that wasn't the first one, either. That was a different... They made, like, several of these, so... Yeah.
So, technically, they have a right to it. They...
Yes, it's their resources, which, again, kind of goes back to the whole colonized mindset of, you know, this is your minerals, we're going to take it for our own purposes. Well...
Yeah. and it's also symbolic in my mind, too, of the whole fact that, you know, basically this whole... thing is, like, I mean, without Wakanda, there is no Avengers, there is no all of this, and it's like it's kind of the cradle of civilization sort of thing in Africa.
It is. I mean, literally, so, of all the superheroes originally comes from there. And they split off into different groups. You know, you had the people up in the mountains, they were, you know, they had different philosophy, but so, like, Tony Stark probably wouldn't have become Iron Man.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain America definitely would have become Captain America. Yeah. So.
So then next we have Sam goes to meet with. He plans to go meet with Carly. And Bucky insists that he goes with him.
Yeah.
And. So what happens then?
I don't remember if this happens after or before that, but Lamar and John are at a food court at a mall at some point, and they're talking about whether they would take the serum if they were offered it. I'm not sure if that happens during this time.
Yeah, basically Lamar says he would. And this echoes the scene earlier with where Sam has asked the same thing.
Right. Yeah, Zemo asked Sam, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
And Lamar says, yeah, and, you know, he's like, hell yeah, I'll take it. And then he's like, well, what about, you know, you or whatever? And he's like, well, you know, wouldn't you be worried if it changed you? And he says, well, you know, is that the whole thing, that power just makes you more of who you already are, you know, type of thing? So, which is literally what the doctors tell Steve in the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes back to that whole thing. And
basically, I mean, it's just implying that, you know, because, like, Red Skull became bad when he took it, and Steve became good. He just became amplified, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The true, like, American hero that he is, you know. When Morgenthau and Wilson they get together, They have this meeting, and Walker and Hoskins show up as well later, and they engage in a fight with other members of the Flag Smashers. And then in the situation, there's, like, this big, huge fight, and Morgenthau accidentally kills Hoskins. Which then, you know, of course, enrages Walker. And they're in this town square. The guy that we saw earlier, who said he was a fan of Captain America when he was a kid, his name is Nico. And he's one of Carly's, you know, like, right-hand men. Walker chases him out of the building and stuff like that, and then in front of a bunch of horrified spectators in, like, this town square, he takes his shield on top of Nico and smashes him to bits, basically. And then we end the episode with this blood smeared on the bottom of the shield. This is Disney, by the way.
Yeah. And the music's got this really like dark music and intense music, and he's like, and what's scary about this scene, right? So like, for one thing, there's so much imagery here; it's ridiculous of how much they threw in here. So he's literally using a shield as a piercing weapon, a shield.
Yeah, which is not meant to be. It's meant to be something to protect people. Not
exactly.
Yeah.
So he's using that as a weapon to murder or to kill. And it's got blood on the shield, so then that represents that this is not your grandpa's Captain America. And then, you know, the whole world's watching, so everyone's recording on their cell phones. And what scared me the most about this, though, is that he had, like, this look of defiance on his face. Like, he was not even, like, embarrassed. Like, it was almost like, what are you going to do about it type of thing, which is really scary. Because my feeling is that episode 5, this is going to lead to a lot of political unrest in the United States. You're going to have ultra conservatives agreeing with what he did because they love violence.
Yeah,
against, you know, minorities and other people that they consider to be unsavory and surly or whatever. So they're going to be cheering him on, like, "Yes, he's more violent than the original Captain America. I love it," you know. And then other people are going to be like, "No, like that's not what Captain America's supposed to be doing. He's not supposed to be killing people, especially in such a gruesome manner of stabbing them with a shield multiple times, you know." And and like, he was doing that weird head tilting thing again he was doing earlier when he got the serum for the first time, and that head tilt thing freaks me out.
Mention that he took the serum.
Oh, that's right, yeah, he ended up actually taking the serum during that fight when they took Lamar. They kidnapped Lamar and they tied him up or whatever, and then Lamar cut himself out. And then, because, yeah, that's what happened. So basically, Carly was about to kill John. He's going to stab him or whatever. And then that's when, well, I don't know if it would kill him, but Lamar didn't know that. So he went to jump in right at the last moment. And then she punched him really hard. And then he flew up against like a wall or some kind of thing that broke his neck, essentially.
Yeah, it was like a pillar in the building.
Yeah, pillar. Yeah. Which, again, pillar, that's an interesting symbolism right there as well.
Yeah.
You know, pillars of justice, pillars of, you know, whatever, you know. And so, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and like I said, The Whole World is Watching is like an interesting title for this episode, because you've got all these people, you know, watching at the end there. Do you want to take a break here, Matt, and then we can come back and we can talk about our... like some trivia and our speculation for what might happen in the next episodes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
It's the ninja from the Asked Angry Ninja Show saying, come listen to the show. We got the ninja wife to give you movie reviews. We got the conscript to give you the ninja news. And we got the battle to talk about your sports. And as always, it is the Asked Angry Ninja Show. So, ask me a question, we'll give you the ninja knowledge you need for your ninja life. Search for us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just search for the Ask the Angry Ninja Show and enjoy the show.
And we are back. Okay, so here's some trivia that I found here. This is the first appearance of Wakanda since the passing of Chadwick Boseman. So this is the first time Wakanda's appeared, the actual, you know, land of Wakanda. Bucky as White Wolf is different from the comic persona, as in the comics, White Wolf is the loyal adopted brother of Wakanda's King T'Challa, and is the chieftain of the Hutt Zarazi, the country's secret police, and a brutal warrior. The title of the episode is a line from Black Panther when Okoye warns T'Challa of exact same thing as he prepares to execute Ulysses Klaue in front of a large crowd of bystanders who are all recording his actions on their smartphones. In this episode, John Walker does murder a member of the Flag Smashers in front of a large crowd of bystanders who are all recording his actions on their smartphones. The first time Captain America's shield, which is made of vibranium, is claimed by a Wakandan. In this case, a member of the Dora Milaje. Wakanda is the location of the majority of the rare vibranium metal. However, at Io's behest, the shield is immediately returned to John Walker. So yeah, like we mentioned earlier. So that's a little bit of trivia that we have there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you speculate? So online, there's a rumor that there's going to be a, which we had when we watched WandaVision as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor that there's going to be a big cameo in the next episode.
Okay. Well, I'll believe it when I see it, or if I see okay. it.
If there is going to be one, who would you like it to be, Matt?
You know, it would be cool if, I mean, I don't know if when they filmed this, but if it was before Chadwick Boseman, and before he died, if he would show up, that would be pretty cool. I don't know if when they started filming this or not.
Yeah.
But I think
it was after his death.
Okay, well, aside from that, besides him, I would like a cameo. Do you mean like an actor or like a character?
Well, it's a character, yeah.
Oh, character, okay.
I mean, it could be somebody we've already met. Or another Marvel character.
Character. Yeah. Let's see here. Well, we're in Europe. I don't know. I think it would be kind of cool if we found out that, you know, Steve is still alive and, you know, he's going to have to come out of retirement to sort of like sort this stuff out a little bit, at least from like the perspective of speaking. I don't think he'll have the strength anymore to. I mean, he'll still have some strength, kind of like how Isaiah has it, but not enough to actually fight, you know what I mean, really well. But
yeah.
So, like, you know, to basically play diplomat.
Like old Steve or something?
Well, yeah, what I mean is, like, because this takes place 6 months after that. So I'm assuming he probably would still be alive. Who knows? But because Bucky is, you know, he's around the same age as... Did they explain that? Why Bucky never ages, but Steve did? Is there a reason for that, or?
Well, Steve went back in time and lived all those years.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly why Bucky doesn't, but it's like something within the serum or something. And
well, yeah, because I mean, yeah, Steve went back in time, but still, Bucky was alive that whole time too. So, or maybe they call him the Winter Soldier because they like, freeze him for a while.
I think they do put him in, like, in cryostasis or something.
So he'll probably age normally then now or something like that. Okay, all right.
I mean, my guess of who it might be somebody that's in the Black Widow movie that's coming out.
Red Guardian, that would be awesome.
Either him or it could be... Florence Pugh's character, who is supposedly going to be the new Black Widow.
Okay.
Maybe her. But all this would make more sense if the movie had already come out when it was supposed to.
Right. Yeah, because they had it.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, it could be nobody. It could be somebody. I mean, it could be anybody. I mean, it could be... It could be somebody from an upcoming series. I mean... Maybe it'll be Nick Fury. You know, who knows?
Oh, yeah. It could be Santa Claus, because Santa Claus is a mutant in the Marvel Universe, so...
Yes.
And we are in Europe, so, you know...
Yes.
So...
I think it's going to be, like, random guy number 3 from, you know, the Fantastic Four movie of, you know... That was never released. The Roger Corman. Oh, yeah.
did we review that one yet or not? I don't remember. I know we watched it.
Yeah, we reviewed it. We just haven't released the episode yet. We will.
Okay. Soon. I totally forgot about.
I know.
It was not a good movie.
Well, yeah, that'll be coming up soon, so stay okay. tuned for that, folks. But anyways, overall, I really liked this episode, and I can't wait to see where this is going. We got two more episodes, so a lot's got to happen in these two episodes.
Yeah, because they kind of stretched this out a bit, so now they're kind of, they need to really ramp up the speed here a little bit.
I mean, by the end, I think somehow Sam's going to become, Captain America, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens, like, if there's some kind of, way for Carly to overcome her fears, or if she's going to end up dead, you know?
Yeah, either she'll end up dying a martyr, or while fighting, or she'll get killed right as she realizes the wrongness of her ways. Yeah. That's a common trope. Or she'll basically allow herself to be imprisoned for her, you know, terrorist crimes or whatever type of thing. Yeah. One of those three is probably gonna, I think John Walker is probably going to become agent, or or the one where he's wearing the black suit. So he's just going to become like basically like a right wing terrorist. Essentially. Well, I don't know, because in this he's not really political rendition or
I don't think he's going to become a white supremacist or anything. Yeah, I think it's more he's more of a by all means necessary sort of guy, you know what I mean? So it's like
he's just an authoritarian. He doesn't really have any, like, his best friend was black, his wife I think was maybe I don't know if she was white or not, I couldn't tell, but like
she was at least mixed. So yeah,
right. So it's like, yeah, he doesn't really have the the symbols of being like a hardcore right wing, whatever, you know, type person. So he's just inherently he's authoritarian. It's just part of his personality. He wants to control things. He wants to, you know, punch, ask questions later. Which, you know, without Lamar now, he's going to be even worse, because Lamar was always the one that kind of talked him down, so...
Yeah, he was like the Jiminy Cricket on his shoulder, but he's not going to be there anymore, you know, it's like...
Right.
Yeah.
That really sucks, because I like this character a lot. I wanted him to be around, but...
See, my thing is I think... Some people are saying that they thought they saw Lamar moving.
I did at first, but I watched it two more times and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, my thing, who knows, he still could be alive, because, you know, you cut away from it and you never know what happened afterwards, you know?
Yeah, because when I first watched it, I thought I saw him twitch a little bit, but it didn't look like nerves like when someone's dead. It looked like he was like trying to move, but then I watched it two more times and I didn't really see that. The second, third time.
So who knows? I mean, it could be even harder on John if Lamar is still alive.
And, like, paralyzed or something, or... Like,
or what I mean is the fact is that he killed Nico.
Oh, right.
kind of in revenge for Lamar's death.
Right.
But then you got to come to the realization that, whoa, I killed somebody... And then Lamar's not even dead. That'd be interesting.
For no
that'd
reason.
Be an interesting way to go.
And it would be, too, because Lamar then could then change size, which is what he does in the comics, right? He basically becomes Falcon, and then Falcon becomes Captain America. So, we'll see.
Does he?
I thought so. I thought I read somewhere that he essentially becomes like Falcon, how Falcon was to Captain America, he becomes... that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, second in command or whatever type of thing. Like, so,
yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Then again, though, Steve did not really view Sam as being second in command to him.
Yeah,
so.
And I mean, like, it, there's a lot of different things, because, like, in the comic books, Bucky is his sidekick, and...
Okay.
Yeah, it's different. So, yeah. And there's so many different continuities. So it's hard to say where this is going. But, in its own continuity, actually. So that's yeah. what'll make it interesting. So anyways, I really can't wait until next week. Please let us know what you thought of this episode on our Facebook group, or you can email me at mike@cullenpark.com, or you can go to alltoreal2.com and, find everything there. You know, make sure you rate the show if you can.
Yeah.
Give us a 5-star rating if you like us. Tell us how much we suck if you don't. You know, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a 5-star man.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm a 5-star general.
Cool.
In the military.
can I play us out?
Yeah. Before Matt plays us out, just make sure you get vaccinated if you can.
So we can get my first shot.
I got my first shot too. I'm getting my second one next week.
Cool.
And So get vaccinated. Wear a mask, people. Wear a mask.
Yes. Keep wearing a mask even when you do get vaccinated, just for a little while.
Well, you have to anyways, you know. It's because you can still pass it along.
Yeah.
And, you know, wear a condom.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time.
Yeah, well, okay.
Wait.
Wait, wouldn't that mean that you have to have an erection at all times?
Yes. So take Viagra. Wait.
I mean, I guess technically you could still wear it, but...
Yeah,
it'd
be loose. maybe we need to rethink this, Matt.
Maybe we need to, yeah.
At least wear the mask, people. Okay, and here's Matt's new song. It's called Wear a Condom. Here's Matt's new song.
Yeah, it's called Wear a Condom, and the subtitle is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Both wear a condom. No. Oh, gosh. Why do we do this? okay, so here we go, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kind of got lost there.
That's okay. Well, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.